Well, with great joy, I'm pleased to sit and listen to a sermon this morning. It's my privilege to do that. Happy to invite Ryan to come and share with us. As I said, Ryan and Kayla have three children. He's finishing off a theology degree from Tyndale Seminary, and he's currently working in construction, though he's also done some heavy equipment work and lots of other things that make him probably a pretty good fit for a congregation like ours. Experience in landscaping and, yeah, lots to commend himself beyond being a great student of the Word. So, Ryan, why don't you come up and share with us? For your information, this is Abe's hearing device, so don't forget Abe. Abe is an honored saint among us. 98 and a half, right?
Wow. 90 and a half. Incredible.
Amazing, yeah.
Amazing.
Let me pray for you, brother.
Okay.
Father, thanks for Ryan. Thanks for the friendship that we've enjoyed with him over these months. And Lord, just again, we're praying for ease. Ease in the power of your Spirit. You do the heavy lifting, Father. And let Ryan just speak freely to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you. You know what? This has been really great. So I just want, before we get too far here and I get too distracted, because I probably will, I always want to take a moment to introduce my family. I know I've talked to a number of you, and for the record, I did not promise to know names. So, yeah. But this is my family here. We're just really, you guys are such a welcoming church, and it's truly amazing. You guys are a singing church, which is incredible, and I love that. I started tearing up back there listening to all your voices praising God together. It was amazing. So, but we're grateful to be here, and I'm honored for this opportunity. This is my wife there in the back, and Kayla, and they tucked off to the nursery, but they'll be here and around. And then she's holding Silas, our youngest. He just turned one about a week ago, and he's on the move and into everything, which is really great, of course. And then our middle there on my right here is Abel. He is three, and then our oldest, Landon, is five. So three boys were on the go and very, very busy. Lots on the go, of course. So just wanted to take a moment to say that. Again, honored to be here. I'm gonna just pray. I know we just prayed, but I'm going to pray again, if that's all right, before we begin here. So if you bow with me. Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for who you are. And God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. And I just ask, Father, that you would speak through me. That your words would be heard this morning, and that you would make very clear what you want to press upon our hearts, and that you would that we would just have open hearts, and ears and minds to hear and to know what you have for us this morning. So we just thank you and pray this in your name, amen. So this morning, the passage we're going to look at together is 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. So if you'll turn there this morning, we'll begin by reading it. We'll read together. And we're going to look at this, not to be confused with 1 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 2. We'll just read the whole thing here, just starting at the top all the way through. So this is what it says in 2 Timothy 2. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may praise the one who enlists him as a soldier. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer also ought to be the first to receive the share of the crops. Consider all the things I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. This is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is our passage we'll look at this morning. We are looking at a fairly big chunk. We're going to narrow in on the middle of it in particular, but I want to start by giving a little bit of background just to help kind of bring this all together. And so this letter here, this is one of Paul's last letters that he wrote. He wrote this letter to his brother in the faith and his protege, Timothy. And he wrote it probably somewhere between 64 to 67 AD. He was in prison in Rome, and he really just got the sense that the end of his life was coming. He had visions for more missionary journeys and more gospel preaching, but he really felt that this was going to be the end. And so he was urging Timothy, there's kind of two structures within the book, and we'll look at the first bit. And he urges Timothy and says, affirm the faith. He says, stay strong. That's the first two chapters. And then in the second half, he says, okay, deal with false teaching. We're not going to deal with that this morning. That'll be maybe a topic for another time. But we're going to deal with this first section here. And this is important. And Paul's urging Timothy to what I'm going to call this morning, confident commitment to Christ. Confident commitment to Christ. And this is important because during this time, Paul is in prison and he's trying to figure out ministry and what's going to happen there and preaching the gospel. He's also worried about the end of his life, but he's also hearing rumors and things are happening where fellow gospel workers, brothers of his, have turned away. They've left him, and he tells Timothy this in chapter 1, in 1:15, you can read, he lists a couple names. He says, they've deserted him because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of the suffering that he is enduring, and they ultimately become ashamed of the gospel because of that. And so Paul is urging Timothy to not be ashamed. And he begins chapter 2, as we read. He says, therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And he says, these things you've heard from me. So Paul has taught Timothy and had conversations with Timothy. But Timothy also has been really encouraged in his spiritual development by his family. And we read that again. You can read that in chapter 1 and in the other letter as well. And so there's this foundation of faith that Timothy has. And so Paul says, hold fast to that. Live confidently committed to Christ. And Paul says all this knowing full well, right, that living this way is not an easy task. That it's really challenging because life is hard. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody? Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, life is often more challenging than we hope it is or want it to be even. And so Paul gives this urge to Timothy, just saying, Timothy, this is going to require all that you have. Living confidently for Christ is going to require a lot of strength, and that strength needs to come from God's grace. The grace in Jesus. Paul reminds Timothy that this is where his strength comes from, in his ability as he serves, as he lives for Jesus, and as he proclaims the good news. So this morning, I want to focus in and narrow in on this idea of confident commitment to Christ. And so hopefully by the end of our time together, we'll look at and kind of see three essentials for confident commitment to Christ. And we'll unpack these. Paul has some really cool images that he uses in this text to help unpack these. Now, there's a couple reasons we're going to look at this morning. One of them is because this is really an important passage for me in a number of ways. These three essentials for me and for my life, for my walk with Christ, and for my striving to follow Jesus has been really defining in a lot of ways and helpful in a lot of ways. And challenging in a number of ways also. So I wanted to share that for that reason. But most importantly, again, we're here to hear from God. And this, there are some implications in this for all of us. We read in chapter 2 here, verse 2, right? Paul says to Timothy, teach these things to faithful men and women who will teach it to others. So this is like a discipleship thing. These essentials are important because it's supposed to be, we're supposed to embody it and live it out and then pass it on. And then they're supposed to pass it on and pass it on, right? So this is why Paul sees this as a much bigger thing. So it's really important. So let's get right into it. So three essentials for confident commitment to Christ. And the first one comes from verse 4. So let's read verse 4 again here. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. So our first essential is that confident commitment to Christ requires full allegiance to our commanding officer. Requires full allegiance to our commanding officer. Now, as I was going through this, this image is kind of a weird one for a couple reasons. One, because I don't really have a military background, so I was like kind of figuring out how to sort of unpack this in a way that, with my lack of experience in that regard, that makes sense. But also because there's sort of an honor-shame culture going on behind the scenes here, which is very different than the way we live now. But this idea of having a commanding officer, someone in charge, someone that's worth, that you give your respect to, your allegiance to, is really significant. Because during these days for Timothy and for Paul, this structure was very important. Because it did a bunch of things. This structure and respect maintained order in the society within the ranks. It contributed to operational effectiveness. Everybody had their place. Everybody had their role that they fell into, and they knew that. So there was no deviating from that. And it's created this cohesive culture. Everybody was on the same page. You knew where people ranked. You knew how you were supposed to act around certain people and when, and so there's this cohesive culture as a group. And the other thing about having this sort of dynamic is that your commanding officer is in the place that they are because they've been through some of these things. They've worked their way up the ranks. They've had experiences, and so on some level too, they're also able to come along other people who are coming through and learning these lessons, and they're able to help develop them and move them forward. So there's a lot of reasons that this is a big image. Now, in the same way, if we think about all these things, we think about the fact that, first of all, even just as an example, right? Jesus, our commanding officer, he is fully God and fully human. And we read in Hebrews that he was able to experience everything that we could experience. And so as our commanding officer, this is on a big level, on a basic level here, we come and we give him our true allegiance because we owe him that as he guides us and walks us through life. And we commit to him and to follow his example because he's been through it, because he knows, because he gets it. So there's that. But also, the thing about this is that's not always easy, right? It's not always easy to come and give everything we have, right? And because stuff happens, life gets hard. Sometimes we just don't want to give everything we have even, right? But this is hard. But when we have this posture, when we come and give our total allegiance to Christ, it requires that we give everything. It requires that we have our attitude, our appearance, even our behaviors all oriented and turned towards honoring Jesus. As we live our lives, as we come to our fields of life that we operate in. And this is why it's important. We give our primary allegiance to Jesus. And when we live in this way, what's interesting is that we don't always realize, I think more often than not we don't realize this, but we actually are participating in creating this same kind of community, this same kind of community from this image that I mentioned earlier. We create a community when we live in this way as defined by things like our love for one another. Our care for the marginalized. That defines our community. And that comes through our allegiance to Christ. We embody and become communities who represent the culture and ethics of our commanding officer. We think of Matthew where Jesus says the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor. Or we think of representing God's values and the kingdom here on earth. This is how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Pray that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then this one was really cool. I think this is a huge one here. When we are fully in allegiance to Christ and confidently living that way, that brings us to a place of operational effectiveness. And so I think of John 13:35, where Jesus says to the disciples, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. There's a functionality there as we live this life, as we confidently commit to Christ and give our full allegiance. So that's our first essential. A confident commitment to Christ requires full allegiance to our commanding officer. The second essential this morning comes from the next verse down in verse 5. So let's look at that together here. Verse 5, it says, if anyone competes as an athlete, any athletes in the room? Any athletes? I know. No? Maybe? Maybe not? Nobody's going to admit to it. Okay. Okay. Does anybody like sports? Let's just go with that. Yeah? Okay. Good. We're good. All right. My analogy is going to work out here. This is great. Or Paul's analogy, I guess. This is good. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So Paul gives this image of an athlete competing and rules and guidelines. I don't know about you guys. Like, I very much like to be outside the box. I don't like being defined. I like to be creative and explore and do all these things. But what Paul's saying here is that there's, for athletes and for all of us really, there's rules and guidelines that have been set in place. And they've been set in place so that they're crucial to establish how the athlete needs to operate on the field of play. You pick a sport, it doesn't matter, right? There's always guidelines and things set in place so that the sport can go, so that you can get to the end goal of either winning or losing, right? And so it's in this same way that God's given us our playbook, right? We have this same thing. God's given us his word. And he's given us this ability, these guidelines, ability to come to it and understand the guidelines of how to operate in our field of play. Think of your favorite athlete. I was watching a little bit of the Leafs game last night, just as I was kind of relaxing, getting ready for this morning, and Austin Matthews scored his 64th goal. I'm a big Leafs fan. Maybe there's some... any other Leaf fans? Yeah, a few? Okay, cool. I'm in good company. It's good. So he scored. But it's amazing. You watch these athletes, and they just execute these unbelievable plays. Passes, shots, like, and it's like unbelievable. And these things take dedication. These athletes need to know their playbook. And they did not just like read it once, right? It's not just, well, I read it the other night. Okay, we're going to play today. It's like, no, they spent hours in the video room. They spent hours on the field or on the ice, running over the plays. They get to know the people that their plays involve. They watch tapes on other defenses and other teams. Like, they really study. They really study. And there's something here, right? For us, it's important to take our playbook and to study it, to know it, to do that hard work, to do the regular work, to get deeper and better understanding. And this is vital because this is how we're to operate in our fields, our day-to-day life. And if we don't know that, then, you know, what happens when something changes? What happens when we look up at the field and all of a sudden the defense figures out what we're doing and we got to change the play and we're like, okay, this isn't going to work anymore. So you got to call an audible, or you got to find another open guy, or you got to take the shot instead of make the pass, right? We have to be able to make these changes, and the way we do that is knowing our playbook, knowing how to operate, knowing how to operate according to the way that God has created us, designed us, and operating with who he's called us to be. This should be our goal, right? To internalize the scriptures, so that we can make these changes, ultimately so we can move toward the goal, strive toward the goal, the end goal of being more like Christ. Because that's really what it comes down to, right? This is what the scriptures largely are for us to hear from God, to commune with God, and to form us and to shape us through the work of the Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus. And again, sometimes, you know, we find ourselves on the field, we're up against a tough defense sometimes, right? Jesus promised. He said that in this world you will have trouble. But he said, have hope, because I've overcome. So we have a way. We have a way to overcome. We have a way to get through. I think of Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, Paul says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities. We are up against a tough opponent. And some days we really feel that, other days not so much, but the opponent is there. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. So that's essential number two. Confident commitment to Christ requires knowing your playbook. And then the third one this morning, from our third essential, comes from verse 6. So let's look at verse 6 together here. The hardworking farmer, Paul says, ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Again, this is another analogy that I'm not a farmer. I'm going to put that right out there. I like to garden. I like to be outside in nature, but having a little hobby garden is nowhere near nothing like farming, and I'm fully willing to admit that. But over time, I've been able to get to know a few farmers, and here's one thing that I do know about farmers and people in agriculture is that they are often some of the most faithful people. They really are. And let's just think about this for a second, right? If your farmer comes to a field, and I'm thinking like big, like, you know, like lots of fields, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fields or whatever, massive farming scale here. They come and they prepare the soil. They plant the seed in season. And then they get it all ready. They can water and they can fertilize. They can do all that. But ultimately, right, all of the growing and all of the crops flourishing, their livelihood is in the hands of not them. It's in the hands of God. Because they can't control whether it's going to rain too much or not enough. They can't control the growing process and the science behind it. So they have to have their confidence in their livelihood in a way, in Christ. And this is a huge image for us, right? We're called to model this life of our own. Farmers work really hard. I don't know if any of you guys know any farmers. You probably know that they work very hard. And so in our lives, we're called to work hard, but to also have this patient endurance. We can live with confidence. We can know, we can do our work. We can go forward and do all the things that God's given us the ability to do. And we prepare as much as we can, but ultimately we know and we can trust and have confidence that God is good, that God is with us, that God has all these things in control that are beyond us. And so like the farmer, we work hard, we do our part, and it requires action on our part. And so in our action, this is how we express our faith in God, to do things, and we come to the end of our actions, and then we wait and we anticipate and expect God to do only the things that he can do and show up only in the ways that he can show up. And it's through this patient endurance that we rest in God's presence and his blessing, and we have confidence in that. So this is the third essential for this morning. Confident commitment to Christ requires patient endurance. So I'll be honest, that's a lot. We'll do a quick little recap here because there's a lot there. But these are our three essentials, right? Confident commitment to Christ requires full allegiance to our commanding officer. It requires knowing our playbook, and it requires patient endurance. And in all these things, like, these are really big things, and they're essentials. Paul emphasizes these things for a reason, because all these things are required for the life of faith, for the life of following Jesus. And some of these things, I'm sure you're well aware, that you could say, yeah, I'm good in that area. I'm good in there. Over here, maybe not so much. Or, hey, like, I'm getting better in this area, but I got to spend a little more time here. And that's okay, because we're not called to be perfect. We're not called to have this totally perfect. But this will be the end here. I'm going to wrap up, and I'll pray for us. And as I pray, just my prayer is that as we go from here, that God would impress upon your hearts where you are, what season you're in, what field you're in, and what work that you need to that the Holy Spirit's calling you to press into. I've gotten to know some of you, but I don't know you well enough to make any big things here, but yeah. So let me close in prayer for us. Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together in your Word. God, thank you that you are, that we can have confidence in you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, for the places you've placed us, the unique ways the unique opportunities you've given each and every person here. Father, I just pray that for every person in this room, you would empower them through your Spirit to live confidently committed to you. I'm not sure what that looks like, God, but you know. You know what that looks like, and you know the work that needs to be done and the work that will continue to be done. And so would you just impress upon our hearts the area where you're calling us to grow, to move into being the people that you have made us to be and that you're calling us to be. God, thank you for the work that you're doing in this area. In the little bit that I've been here, I get the sense that you are on the move and that there are great things that you are doing. So I thank you for that. Thank you for this church and for the just the very welcoming atmosphere and this amazing time that my family and I have had. And so I just pray that you'd be with us as we go from here, that you would give us everything we need, and that we would rest in your grace and your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Ryan. Beautiful words. Thanks for sharing with us. You know, verse 8 is interesting. Jess, could you put that slide back up that Ryan had up there? Verse 8 is still beautiful, I think. I'd like to say I memorized all your points, but I'm a little nervous about that. Verse 8 says this, remember Jesus Christ, right? Confident commitment. You want to know what full allegiance looks like? Remember Jesus, right? You want to know what the playbook looks like? Look at Jesus, right? You want to know what patient endurance is? Man, look at Jesus. Thank you for sharing with us. So good. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, worthy of our allegiance, worthy of following after, and worthy of patient endurance. Father, again, we thank you for the beauty of the gospel. Thank you for Ryan's challenge to us today. Lord, we confess that we fall so far short of full allegiance and patient endurance and the playbook. But Lord, let your Spirit fill us so that we hunger for these things in order that we could be a blessing to each other and to our world. Again, we thank you for our friends who joined us. We just pray for your fullest blessing on them. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.